day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
It's time for our morning show on WRCO and WRCE. We're glad to have Richland School District Administrator Steve Board in the studio with us today. Steve, happy summertime, huh?
It's great, yeah. It's
Where's it going?
The trade deadline for the Major League Baseball. I'm following the Brewers, meticulously, and it just kind of marks kind of the end of the summer, and as soon as that's over, man, it's ready to go to school. So
awesome. Did you study up on the trade that they just made? Or
I saw Mears came in last night, and then I saw that they just traded for Montas, I believe is how you pronounce it. Yeah, and I don't know a lot about him. I know he's having a rough year, but the Brewers have done a great job with developing pitching, and maybe that new scenery will be great. They need some pitching help, I think, in order to make a deep run.
I think they do, too. And it is an amazing, Christian Yelich goes down, but it just seems like they just keep hitting regardless. They've had so many injuries this year.
Yeah, I'm a huge sports fan. I coached basketball for all those years, love the NFL, and I've always followed the Brewers, and I really, really enjoy following the Brewers, but this year's team is a different. Like, they've been extra enjoyable, the way they play the game and, the speed that they have and the defensive ability that they have, and they're just getting contributions from everybody, and it's really, truly a next-man-up mentality. Yelich goes down, and, Hoskins hits a home run last night. Churio's been on fire. Like, they're just a fun team to watch. I really enjoy them.
And they do, and they play basic baseball, too, sacrificing and hit and run and things like that.
Absolutely, yeah. I've seen more bunts this year than I've seen probably in the last 8 years combined. Frolic, had a bunt for a hit last night that ended up on second, scored a run after the wild throw, and it's just good baseball. It's just fun to watch.
It's exciting, no doubt about it. Busy stuff going on with the district, that's for sure.
And, yeah, it kind of feels like our trade deadline. Like, it's just like this you're trying to make your team better, right? You're trying to fill some holes and get ready for the big push, and that's kind of where we're at, right? We're trying to make a couple of last minute hires that we have. We're in pretty good position, but hopefully we don't lose anybody, from between now and then. I feel confident about that, but there's a lot of excitement and a lot of anxiousness and a lot of things to do yet here between now and the start of the school year.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point because teachers right now are almost kind of like free agents in some regards. It's different than it used to be, isn't it?
Yeah, not even in some regards. It's exactly what it is, And, I think most of our school districts respect one another, and they really try hard not to steal teachers, if you will. And I think they do a really good job with that. But the reality is when a teacher from another district shows interest in your district, you also want to, welcome them and take advantage of their experience and leadership and things like that as well. So it is difficult. And, I was always worried. This is always a time of year when you hit August 1st. You're always worried that you're going to lose staff, as these last minute positions fill and other districts are maybe upping the price they're willing to pay or what they're able to do for somebody because they're in a desperate situation as well. And then you get those last minute leaves. Those are the ones that are difficult to fill when you have a teacher that leaves, August 10th, and you've got 3 weeks from school, and you're trying to fill a high school math position, for instance. So those are high needs areas to fill. But I do feel confident that our staff is in a good spot right now. Again, we've got most, if not all, of our positions filled. I have not heard any rumblings about any of our staff looking. Of course, that can always happen. You just never know. But I really, really am excited about the staff that we have, our leadership team in place. I was thinking just this morning, as I was kind of, thinking about the morning show and, where we're at. And this will be, starting year three for me, first year in an interim situation last year as a official. But we've had our leadership team in place, the people in place now for, this will be 3 years in a row. And prior to that, we always had moving pieces, right? I don't remember a year where we didn't have some component that was changing, if it was a assistant principal position or, you know, a principal position or just a leadership position. And whenever you have leadership turnover, it's difficult to sustain momentum that you have and initiatives that you have and good things that you're doing moving forward that may have been something that one of those particular people really took a vested interest in. It's difficult to sustain. We've been able to keep our core people in place. Yes, some of them have changed positions, right? John Bosworth moves from high school principal down to district office. Ryan Lemke, Liz Perkins take over at the high school, but they're the same people in place. And so I really think that that has been just an instrumental part in the sustainable growth that we've been able to have over the last couple of years. And some of the really, really good things that have come to fruition with the partner school and some of the alternative options that we have available, and our staff being comfortable and wanting to stay and wanting to be part of our school district, the pay initiatives that have been moving forward, all of that, I believe, is a direct result of really having people that have been able to stay, in place and really keep that momentum going. And I'm just looking forward to a really outstanding school year.
And the referendum passing in the spring, I mean, I know it was close, but I think that certainly helps morale, probably helps in keeping staff too, doesn't it?
I certainly have to believe it does. Not just the direct result of, you know, the operating referendum having a direct result in pay, right? That was certainly something we were trying to do with that non-recurring referendum, but just the overall idea that our community is supporting our school district and passing both referendums. And again, it was close, and there's certainly a number of people that were not voting in favor of the referendum, and it's our responsibility to make sure that we are fiscally responsible with the funds that we have and to show the public that we're going to follow through on what we said was going to be done, and we're working diligently on that as well. But to your point, you know, having leadership that's been in place, knowing that the community has supported our school, certainly feeling that there's a positive vibe, you know, that's going on in the Richland School District as we've kept more of our students in our school district, and we've returned some of the ones that have chosen to leave. All the numbers are really starting to swing the other way, and we really have turned the corner. I think I can comfortably say that. We've turned the corner. Now it's our job to make sure that we continue that positive momentum, continue to offer opportunities and choice for our students and our families, and continue to educate in 21st century models and not what we used to do in 1980, right? And it's just our job to continue to move the district forward and have the community direct that vision on what they want their public school to be.
It was a year ago here on the Morning Show, we were talking about the idea of co-principals, and you did that last year with Ryan Lemke and Liz Perkins. It seems like that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I tell you, I don't know that it could have worked out any better than what it did, you know, without getting into personnel evaluations. I can comfortably say that, you know, we just hit a home run with that move. And it was a little bit of a rolling of the dice. Anytime that you have co-principals, it's a little bit like, you know, parents that might be separated, or even just parents that live in the household. Kid goes to one parent and gets, you know, the answer they don't like, and they go to another parent and maybe they didn't get the answer that they want. Ryan and Liz have done such a tremendous job of working together so closely, that they communicate so well, that they are truly a unified voice. And it has given us the ability to have truly two people in one spot at the same, or two people in two positions at the same time. They can fulfill two roles, unlike one person being in that position. And it's just worked out really, really well. I've gotten a chance to informally talk to staff. They're very, very comfortable at our 7 through 12 high school building. They think it's just been an outstanding situation. That's a credit to Ryan and Liz. And again, that continuity and leadership, I think, is so important.
It came out recently at your Board of Education meeting about some updates on the partner school. Anything you'd like to talk about there, Steve?
Yeah. So recently, Okay, so we know that this is the first year that we completed the partner school. This was an alternative school being held at East Hall. You know, we had intentionally wanted to make sure that that program started off small so that we could really develop success. One of the last things that we wanted to do was have, you know, 48, 50 kids in at the first year and us not being able to work through what this really is going to look like and how this is going to work. So we limited it. We had 12 or 13 kids in it this last school year, expanding that to 24 to 26 this next school year, hoping to expand that even further. My goal is to get up to 50 next school year. And we've just seen tremendous success with the students that did not succeed necessarily in the traditional classrooms. And that's not true for every student, but certainly some of them. And the community partnerships that they've been able to develop and the job that they've been able to do at the partner school. So that whole process of the partner school has brought about additional ideas as we have continued to evaluate data. And I mentioned earlier that we've been able to bring back a good chunk of students that have left the school district over the last few years. And we've been able to retain a higher percentage of them that attended, you know, in the traditional manner. And so, but we still doesn't mean we've fixed our open enrollment out problems. And so we still have more students choosing other school districts over ours that reside in our school district. And as we, as a leadership team, looked at the numbers and really where are these things happening, we noticed, generally speaking, there were some trends, right? Seventh graders transitioning to eighth graders. We weren't retaining the percentage of those students as we would have liked, right? There were some grades at the elementary level that the same situation was happening. And so as opposed to just living in status quo and saying it is what it is, what can we do to make it an even more welcoming environment for those grades? And what can we do to catch those students that are needing to choose alternative pathways, whether it's because the traditional model doesn't work and there's not enough room in the partner school, or there's just too much stimuli in a 7 through 12 building with almost 600 kids? Like, what is it? And so it was kind of brought about with the success of the partner school and a program that Therese Shekel ran about 10, 12 years ago called School Within a School. It was called the SWAS program, School Within a School. And it was really more of an isolated programming that she took on and tried to help students that maybe didn't learn in the traditional format an opportunity to learn in a smaller environment, okay? We also have heard that one of the reasons that students have left the Richland School District over the years is because they wanted that small school environment, right? They wanted smaller class sizes. And so what if we could recreate that in a recreation of a school within a school concept off of some of the things that we've learned with a partner school? And so the idea arose, what if we have a different alternative setting, right? It's not a true charter school. It's going to run within the umbrella of our school district and our high school, our intermediate school, and our primary school. And we're calling it the RC program. And it's R for Richland and then SSEE. And it stands for the Small School Educational Environment, okay? And so the idea is if at each building we have the ability to offer students a small class sizes of 10 to 12 to 14 students, and we have the ability to educate them in a little bit more of an isolated area. Maybe it's a situation where that child was bullied in the larger population of the school district. We can now keep them isolated in a smaller school. Maybe it's just somebody who just doesn't work well in class sizes of 22 English kids at the high school, or even 19 or 20 second graders, right? Can we put them in a smaller school environment? And so that's what's developed, and our school board has supported that, and we're going to take the initiative of trying to hire three alternative education teachers onto our staff, and we're going to have one at each building. And we're going to be able to offer students the ability to learn and do school at school, right? But in kind of a school within the school mentality. There will be a cohort of let's just call it 12 to 14 students, and they're going to do classes with that same group. There won't be as many transitions to other classes. They're going to get their math, their reading, their science, their social studies, maybe some electives. They'll be able to do an outside in a true general school population, but the opportunity for them to stay and do school in a smaller environment gives them that choice, okay? And so big picture, we know that parents and students have many choices in education. And so we need to become a district of choice, not just the district that we want them to choose, but a district that offers choice. And I think this is one of the last components that we need to implement to really be proactive in providing parents and students choice. We've now got this school within a school mentality where it's a very small school, small classroom structure for a student. They can transition that into the partner school if that is a pathway that works for them, which is another pathway that we have. We still have some virtual school options for those students that want to do school online. And then we've got the traditional model. And so we're hoping that, and I really believe that this is the way education is moving, not only in our region, in our state, but across the country, really trying to find ways to meet all the students' needs. And I think being proactive with this, I think this is going to give us a leg up and offer a great opportunity for students to learn in a different environment and really give those parents and students choice on how school is done for their child to make it the most successful as possible.
With the new RC school then, Steve, is that multiple grades together in the small classroom, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a little fluid at this point, but the idea is that hypothetically, right, these are still a little moving numbers because we don't necessarily know exactly where the needs or the interest is going to be. And this has got to be a parent-school partnership, right, and school and student partnership. It can't just be parents saying this has to be the case if we think that there are better alternatives for the student. And it can't just be something that's shoved down parents' throats from the school as well. But if there are students, maybe the behaviors are triggered by different stimuli or things like that. This is a controlled environment. And so it could be at the primary school, it could be a group of first graders. It could be a first, second combo, right? At the intermediate school, it might be a 4 and 5 grade combo, right? And at the high school, we're pretty settled, at least for year one, that the high school is going to be a 7th and 8th grade combination. And the reason we're focusing on 7th and 8th grade combination at the high school is because if that's an environment that works for those students, and again, I mentioned earlier that statistically we're not retaining as many 7th graders moving into 8th grade as we want, this might be an option for them to continue to have a smaller school environment. Once they reach 8th grade, then they might be able to transition over to the partner school, right? And so because we have the partner school in line already, which is primarily starting at grade 8, starting at grade 9 through graduation, 7th and 8th grade seem to be the perfect fit for that. Could be a little fluid at those other two buildings. The intermediate school, we're kind of penciling in maybe a 4th-5 combo, but it might turn into a 5th and 6th grade combo. It might turn into all 5th graders, right? Those are going to be based a little bit more on the interests and the needs of the students that we need to try to accommodate. We're going to try really hard not to span over 3 grades, right? 2 grades, from a curricular standpoint, we can meet the needs of those students. But when we start talking about reading levels of 3rd graders through 6th graders, right, we can't span that many grades. But it is likely that it will be a multi-grade classroom, but no more than 2 grades, if that makes sense.
It does. And it is a little bit of a throwback because, when I went to school, that was kind of the case. You'd have 4th and 5th together and things like that. Not necessarily a one-room school concept, but certainly it might be review for some students and new for others.
Yeah, and I think, you mentioned a one-room schoolhouse, and that's a little bit. It is a little bit of a throwback back to those days where you had many, many grades in one room and you were truly doing differentiated instruction at its best, right? Because the class sizes will be small enough and because our teachers are really, really good at what they do, their ability to differentiate, and let's just say you take a group of 4th and 5th graders and they're all doing math, right? 4th and 5th grade students all doing math, those teachers are already accustomed to, the advanced students giving them more challenging problems and the students who are struggling with a concept giving them more review concepts. They're already doing that. It's already happening, and we just don't talk about it at a grade level. So I really don't anticipate it being any different for them to be able to differentiate instruction and meet the needs of the students, meet the students where they're at. And if they are struggling with a concept in math, offer opportunities for them to be able to review that with, again, that small school environment where we're just talking 10 or 12 kids. There should be a lot of opportunities for the teacher and the student to have interactions and make sure that they're getting caught up on the content. And then by the same token, if they're excelling in an area, be able to provide challenging opportunities for them as well. And again, I think that we've gotten away when the standards came into place at a national level, and I think the standards have been great because it's really unified school districts on what they're teaching. And I know that there's some cynics out there that say the standards shouldn't be in place, but I think one of the best things that standards do, because in a district like the Richland School District, where we're very transient, we have a lot of students coming in and out of our district and our community frequently, right? A student coming from wherever, right? Pewaukee, for example, as a third grader, we need to know that they're being taught the same things in Pewaukee that they're being taught in the Richland School District. And by having standards that schools have to follow, that ensures that that can happen, right? That the third grade standards are being followed at a state level and probably at a national level. So as students move in or do have to move out for various reasons, they can be assured that for the most part, they're going to be learning the same kinds of things at those levels. And so bringing that full circle, you know, when standards come into play, we know what third graders need to learn. We know what fourth graders need to learn. We know what fifth graders need to learn because we've been told that's what they need to learn and that's where they need to be. And so that gives the teacher who's managing multi-grades or multi-skill levels in any subject area, whether it's reading, math, science, social studies, or whatever, it gives them a nice blueprint for them to be able to structure the curriculum around that, knowing what they need to learn when it's all said and done, right? And where they need to be when that school year ends. And that's what we're trying to do moving forward.
I know that it's easy to say for us, you know, as old timers, well, you know, we went to school back in the day and we all learned the same way. We all learned together. But I think education is changing to meet the times, right?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think, and I would ask the question, did we really, right? I mean, we were all taught the same way, mm-hmm. But did we all really learn at the same rate that we could have? Did every student that graduated in 1989 from Royal High School, right? And I was one of those people, but did everybody really truly get the same education even though they were all taught the same way? And I would argue that no, right? I would argue that some of them excelled and some of them did really, really well, but some of them struggled, and they probably struggled for the same reasons that students today struggle. If they're given a model where they're not really comfortable learning and they're not in an environment where they can learn, they're not going to learn. And so we need to educationally, and this is not just true for the Richland School District, I would challenge all school districts to think this way. We need to meet the students where they're at. And it's so easy for us as educators to say, well, the kids just don't listen. They just don't do the work. Well, maybe the content isn't as engaging as it should be. Maybe the content isn't as relevant. Maybe it wasn't explained in a way. You know, if 80% of the students in the class or any given class, if they fail an assessment, whose fault is it? Is it the student's fault because they didn't pay attention, or is it the teacher's fault because they didn't deliver it in a way that the students can learn? We're trying to develop ways for students to learn and for instructors to deliver the content in a way that meets the students where they need to be at. And I think that's exciting, right? I think that we're breaking the mold of traditional school. School hasn't really changed a whole lot over the last 150 years. And I think this is an exciting kind of a pioneer front of let's not do school traditionally. Let's think outside the box and let's get students to learn, because there's some really, really bright students that don't always show how smart or intelligent they are from a test that was delivered in the traditional model. You put them in a different learning environment and they just thrive, right? Our kids at the partner school are doing that now. We're hoping that the school students part of this small school educational environment, this RC program, do that as well. Virtual school options exist and the traditional models exist as well.
I was so impressed with your partner school students that came last year. I think we had almost all of them on the morning show, but I mean, I'm not exactly sure what I expected when they came in, but I was impressed by their focus, you know, and you know, they had a vision for the future.
Yeah, this is a group of students, and we talked about it at its inception, but this is a group of students that they really truly have to take ownership in their own education, right? They have to know what they're interested in, and they have to know what their goals are. And then our instructor, Kim Sifkis, and we'll have another adult aide, Susan Gondak, will be down there this year as well, assisting. But it's their job to help get the students the connections that they need to be successful, right? But we have seen students that when you look at their transcripts pre-partner school, it is filled with D's and F's. And now you look at their transcripts and it's A's and B's, if not all A's. And that is not to say that it is dumbed down or simplified. It's just providing the content and something that they're truly interested in. And to watch these students take ownership and passion in their education and their learning, that's exciting, right? When you get a student that wants to go to school, wants to do school because they're excited about the content that they're learning, that's really cool to me, right? We do it as adults and even as adolescents, you know, we do it in a different way though. When we're at home and we want to learn something, we might YouTube something. We might read a book about it. We might read a blog or an article. We might ask somebody to show us, right? Those are all different ways that we're learning. That's what our students are figuring out, that there are different ways to learn, and we're finding the ways that they learn best and helping them along.
Yeah, interesting stuff. We'll come back with more in a moment from Richland School District Administrator Steve Board on The Morning Show. Our guest is Steve Board on The Morning Show today. Community conversation on a beautiful summer day here in the waning days of July. And not very long ago, we had Carrie Stoltz on, and she was talking a little bit about the upcoming festivities, the super registration. That's right around the bend, isn't it?
It is right around the bend. You know, you think about it being in August, but it's early August. And so when you get to the end of July, like we are now, and realize it's literally a week away, right? That's a big day for the school district. It's a big day for our parents and our students. And, you know, that's going on next Tuesday at Richland Center High School from 1 to 7. And I know there's some other, you know, things going on in the community, National Night Out, things like that. There's a nice wide range of time there for parents and students to be able to get everything done that they need to get done. And I believe this is our fifth super registration, and we think that this will be one of our best super registrations ever. We've learned a lot. Of course, you know, you had to learn through COVID a little bit. Everything changed, right? And there are some good things that came out of it, and certainly some things I'm glad were passed. But, you know, things that can make super registration a little bit more easier for families would be some tips and pointers would be if they can complete the online registration process before super registration, that will greatly expedite your time that you need to spend at super registration. And the online registration will be opening up this afternoon. We anticipate right around 3 o'clock. An email will go out to all of our families. Carrie Stoltz will be posting something on social media as well. But, you know, we're down to about 4 or 5 hours, and that'll be opened up. And that'll give parents a good week, right, to get all of their online registration done. And that's essentially all of the traditional paperwork that, you know, parents would have to fill out at the start of school. It's all done in an online format now. And, you know, I believe that there are 16 or 17 steps. If you've completed the process before, it's about a 10-minute process to be able to sit down and do. If you've never done it, if you're new to the school district or if you just had not completed it in the past, the first time it's about a 20-minute process, right? So a little bit of time, but not horrible. Once you've done it once, though, all that information stays in the system year after year, and so it's much easier to update information. So it will talk you through things like ensuring that we have the right address for you and phone numbers for you to be able to contact parents and write email address. It will then go through situations like your emergency contacts. If we do have a situation that happens at school throughout the course of the year and we can't get a hold of the parents because they're either in an area where their cell phone doesn't work or they're at work and they just can't be bothered, but you know, maybe the child got stung by a bee or something that happened and we just need to get a hold of somebody. Emergency contacts are so important to be able to have, you know, grandmas, grandpas, friends of the family, daycare providers, somebody that we can contact in case of an emergency. updating medication. You know, things change over the course of a year, and students get off medication, they change medications, they increase medications, they've got additional medications, all of those things. It's so important for the school district to have on record so that, you know, nothing happens from a, if they have to take it at lunchtime, we can help facilitate that process, things like that. Goes into food service, right? Filling out the free and reduced lunch meal application. And we would encourage everybody to do that. And whether or not the family wants to take advantage of that, if they're eligible, or whether they know that they're not eligible, I would still encourage them, take the time, fill out the application, because one of the things that benefits a school district is the some of their federal funding in form of, you may have heard, Title I dollars or Title dollars or other federal funding resources.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
We go to see our favorite band in person, then watch them through our phones. That is ironic. Which is why U.S. Cellular created Us Mode, to help us reconnect with each other and use our phones less ironically. Visit uscellular.com/builtforus for a chance to win tickets to see Alanis Morissette live. No purchase necessary. Ends 8/31/24. For details, visit uscellular.com/official rules.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
It is time for a news update sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice, and by Chet's Feed, Seed and Such, the friendly feed store. Today's forecast calls for a high of 91 later on with sunshine. Right now it is 67 degrees.
Ellie here at Chet's Feed, Seed and Such. Keep your house dry from wet paws with our Dirty Dog Chamois and Dirty Dog Doormats. With all this rain to keep things green, now is the perfect time to lay down your grass seeds. We have many seed options to keep your lawn happy, as well as seeding mulch, straw, and fertilizers. Treat your furry friends with our large selection of toys and tasty snacks. Kick pesky mosquitoes to the curb with our Spartan mosquito traps this summer. We appreciate all of our friends down here at Chet's, because without you, there wouldn't be us. Stop by today at 880 North Orange Street or give us a call at 647-8833.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here's what you need to know. State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underley says 59% of Wisconsin high school students who responded to the most recent youth risk behavior survey say they dealt with at least one mental health challenge within the past year. Data from the report also shows 79% of LGBTQ students experience anxiety, 63% say they experience depression, and 40% say they've considered suicide. The Department of Public Instruction's latest survey included responses from nearly 1,900 students in 42 high schools. The U.S. Senate passes a landmark legislation to protect kids online. Support for the pair of bills was bipartisan and overwhelming, with Wisconsin Democrat Tammy Baldwin and Republican Ron Johnson joining 89 other senators in sending the measures to the House. The legislation would force online platforms to take reasonable steps to prevent harms to children, such as bullying, drug addiction, and sexual exploitation, and would expand existing federal privacy protections to include those 16 years old and younger. Both bills have bipartisan support in the House. Two Wisconsin healthcare groups say the use of AI should be limited. UW Health and medical records company Epic were a part of a roundtable discussion on the topic in Washington, D.C. last month. Both say guardrails need to be put in place to ensure AI is being monitored and that patients should know where it is being used. UW Health says it's using AI to perform in-room transcription services during medical appointments and to draft possible responses to patient questions on its MyChart system. A spokesperson says a doctor or nurse will always review messages before they're sent to patients. A Wisconsin soldier who was declared missing in action in the Korean War is the latest to be identified.
The Defense Department's POWMIA accounting agency announced Tuesday it identified Army Corporal Robert Race of Dodgeville as one of a number of bodies recovered from graves in Korea in 1951. His remains have been at the National Memorial Cemetery in Honolulu, where teams have been working to identify soldiers. Race will have an official military burial in Dodgeville in September. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Milwaukee police officers will be heading to the Democratic National Convention. The Common Council on Tuesday unanimously approved sending 75 MPD officers to Milwaukee for the DNC August 19th through the 22nd. They'll provide security and crowd and traffic control. There were more than 1,600 officers from 24 states and the District of Columbia in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention July 15th through the 18th. The RNC and DNC are national special security events which require additional officers and security support. Five people are accused of helping a wanted man hide from police last week, leading to a standoff in Amherst. Officers say Edward Dio, Chrissy Miller, Brody Volker, Thomas DiCarlo, and Brandon Lux were all accused of harboring or aiding a felon for helping Jeffrey Miller hide out while he was wanted for attempted homicide charges for allegedly firing at officers during a traffic stop in Sauk County. The incident led to a day-long standoff with officers from multiple counties, which ended when Miller was found dead Friday evening. All five people will be in court this week. Further details into Miller's death will be released when the DOJ investigation wraps up. Wisconsin sales tax revenues have recorded one of their biggest year-to-year drops since the pandemic. According to the Wisconsin Policy Forum, sales tax revenue dropped 2.3% in March compared to March of last year. Slowing sales tax growth and even declines were seen in key sectors like retail, food service, wholesale trade, and manufacturing. Even though inflation has slowed, it's still well above where it was throughout the 2010s. Making the recent slowing of sales tax revenue more notable, according to the report. WPF policy researcher Mark Sommerhauser says in some of Wisconsin's bigger counties, the impact of remote work and generational pivots toward online shopping could be driving declines in sales tax revenue. Almost half the sectors that report sales taxes saw a decline in the first half of this year. A Wisconsin person was convicted and sentenced to time served Monday for threatening to shoot state lawmakers in 2022 if they passed a bill allowing teachers to carry firearms. A judge found James Stearns of Fond du Lac guilty of making terrorist threats, a felony. Stearns was sentenced to 7 days in jail, which he had already served, and fined $500. Stearns' attorney did not return an email seeking comment Tuesday. The criminal complaint says the 75-year-old Stearns sent two emails in May of 2022 threatening to shoot state legislators if they passed the bill allowing for teachers to be armed. Well, it will be day number three of the Walk with Grace radio auction on WRCO Radio. Funds raised from our sales of items donated by local merchants, businesses, and individuals will go directly to Grace. Over $4,000 has been made in the first couple of days of the auction. 2 hours again today between 10 and noon. And there is a list of the items on the WRCO website, WRCO.com. Also pictures and a list on WRCO's Facebook page. And starting today at approximately 8:30 this morning, Greeley Signs will be installing wayfaring signs in the city of Richland Center. As a result, the westbound lane of Highway 14 will be closed until work is done today as they put up the new wayfaring signs in Richland Center. Ready to revamp your deck or fence? Maley Paint and Decorating in Richland Center introduces you to Benjamin Moore Woodlux Stains. Over 3,500 solid and ultra-flat options. Woodlux by Benjamin Moore brings out the natural grain and texture of your wood while protecting it from the elements like rain, sun, and snow. For a stunning, durable finish that lasts, visit Maley Paint and Decorating, Benjamin Moore Woodlux, where innovation meets excellence. Maley Paint and Decorating, your partner in beautiful, lasting results. Today's forecast calls for a high in the low 90s with sunshine, hot and humid conditions, muggy with thunderstorms likely around midnight and later tonight, some of which could be strong. Also a low of 69 degrees, variable clouds and turning scattered showers and thunderstorms again on Thursday, a high of 83. Areas of rain tapering off Thursday night. Some clouds will linger and a low of 66. Friday, 87, partly cloudy, warm and muggy. Currently at WRCO Studios, after the early reading today of 72, which was right around the midnight hour, we are down from that to our current reading. The overnight low, it is 67.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
There is something wrong with our water. We have no pressure.
No problem. Here comes Larry Ferguson from Advanced Pump and Well Solutions. He'll get us up and running in no time.
Where is his toolbox? Doesn't he need a pipe wrench? What is he pulling out of that gunny sack?
It's his trumpet. Watch this.
Wow. He primed the pump and got the water flowing with his trumpet?
Whatever it takes. Advanced Pump and Well Solutions in Richland Center is up to the challenge 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Call them at 608-649-4488. Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at the local and area sports scene, details on a 5-1 Brewer loss as well.
Are you looking to make a difference in your community? Whether you're a student between the ages of 13 to 18 looking to gain valuable experience, a retiree wanting to give back, or simply someone with a heart for service, there's a place for you at the Richland Hospital and Clinics. To learn more about volunteer opportunities and how you can get involved, contact our volunteer program coordinator. Make a difference by volunteering with the Richland Hospital and Clinics.
Last night in hometown baseball, Arena was a winner over Cazenovia, 13-7, Sauk Prairie 5, Mazamani 4. Dodgeville was a baseball victor over Wisconsin Dells, 4-3, and Reedsburg with a decision 10-1. Over Plain. At Quail Run last night in men's league golf action, Josh Coy had the top score of 32, including 5 birdies on holes 1, 5, 6, 8, and 9. The second best score, Aaron Halverson's 37. Aaron birdied hole 1. And the final night of Church League softball's regular season last night, Church of the Nazarene completed a perfect 12-0 season, downing Free Methodist 18-6. The Mission finished in second place, defeating Richland Baptist Temple 2, 21-9. Richland Baptist Temple 1 clinched third place, getting a victory against Boscobel Assembly of God, and St. Mary's held on to fourth place with a win over Bethel Lutheran by a score of 15-8. Atlanta batters exploded for 4 runs in the third inning, and the Brewers never were able to catch up in a 5-1 loss at home last night. That evens the series at a game apiece. Milwaukee's only run came on Gary Sanchez's single in the bottom of the seventh. The Braves pounded starter and loser Joe Ross and two relievers for 14 hits, including a home run by Wisconsin native Jared Kelnick. Ross talked about his outing following the game last night.
I mean, I felt good physically, so that's great. Just kind of that one inning, missing some balls over the middle of the plate. But I was throwing a lot of strikes, and honestly, just glad that he let me go out there and try to get to the fifth. So I'll kind of check it off as a win, but obviously I wouldn't say I'm happy about kind of how I threw overall.
In terms of the game, it was a tough loss. The series is even at 1 apiece, and they'll be back at it. The Brewers will try to capture the series with a win this afternoon. Freddy Peralta will start the afternoon game, the rubber match of the series. Elsewhere yesterday, the Cubs lost to Cincinnati 6-3, Arizona 17, Washington nothing, San Diego 6-5 over the Dodgers. In the American League, Cleveland 5, Detroit nothing, Baltimore 6-5.
6-2 over Toronto. Seattle 10, Boston 6. Kansas City 4-3 over the White Sox. Interleague action, the Mets 2-0 over Minnesota. Tampa Bay 9, Miami 3. St. Louis 8, Texas 1. The Yankees 7-6 over Philadelphia. Pittsburgh 6, Houston 2. The Angels 10-7 over Colorado. And Oakland beat San Francisco by a final of 5-2. Badger head football coach Luke Fickle is talking discipline to his team as training camp is underway in Platteville. The first practice lasted 2 hours and 15 minutes yesterday. Wisconsin had too many penalties last season, and the coach says that shows his players were not disciplined enough. Fickle was encouraged by the number of fumbles the Badger defenders caused. Of course, that also brings concern about ball protection by the offense. Training camp ended early for 3 Green Bay Packers. The team cut the players before Tuesday's practice started. Kicker James Turner, fullback Henry Pearson, and cornerback Zion Gilbert. The Packers are bringing long snapper Peter Bowden back. Cornerbacks L.J. Davis and Don Callis were also brought on board. Pearson was the only fullback on the roster. That means the team will use its tight ends in the backfield on some plays. The Redemption Tour ended in a familiar spot for Simone Biles. Atop the Olympic podium, the American gymnastics star and singular brilliant performance powered a dominant U.S. women's team in the finals inside a raucous Bercy Arena at the Olympics. That's an update on sports. This Wednesday morning, I'm Phil Nee.
A Kubota tractor will allow you to get all those many jobs done that have been sitting there too long. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. Industry-leading Kubota tractors will push, pull, lift, cut, and till your property back into shape. Kubota has compact diesel tractors priced right from 18 to 62 horsepower.
We get money from the federal government, in many cases, based on our percentage of free and reduced lunch eligibility. Okay, not necessarily how many students are taking or using the free and reduced lunch option, but are eligible for it. And so the more families that fill that out, the more families that may be eligible. And again, whether that family says we don't need to be on the free and reduced lunch program, that's completely up to them, and I would fully support that. But having them be eligible for it increases the percentage, or more accurately reflects the percentage of families in our community that are eligible for that, and that increases federal funding opportunities for the school district. So I think that's extremely important. Other things as paying fees, you know, as students get into the grades 7 through 12, sometimes there are fees associated, whether it's a course fee that they might be taking or a handbook fee that they may need or an athletic fee, those kinds of things. Those can be paid during online registration. And then some dotting of the I's and crossing of the T's in terms of the student handbook acknowledgement, acceptable use of the internet, those kinds of things. Those are typically pretty quick forms that can be filled out in just a few seconds by checking the box that, yes, I agree, I'm not going to do anything, you know, silly on my Chromebook or those kinds of things. And then the parents can sign off on it. So if the parents can go through that process, and again, that'll open up today around 3:00, they can go through that online registration process ahead of time. That greatly reduces the amount of time that they have to spend at super registration. And then what they'll be able to do is they'll be able to attend super registration, check in at the main desk. They will confirm that, yes, all of the forms are completed, and they'll be able to enter into the gym. And at that point, they'll be able to get into the picture line. Jostens will be doing school pictures. It's a big thing for many of our families to be able to, you know, ensure that kids are well-dressed and they've got their hair the right way, and they'll be able to just come in, get their pictures taken. Last year, we know that there were some issues with the lines. We believe we've got that figured out this year, and we believe that that'll be a much less painful process this year than it was in the past. We're actually going to have Justin set up and offer staff pictures from noon to 1, and that will give them a full opportunity to make sure that all of their equipment is working properly so that when 1 o'clock hits, we're ready to roll for families, and we aren't in a position where we get behind. Give them parents an opportunity to talk to the bus service if they've got busing needs that they need. Give them an opportunity to talk to our food service ladies and director if they've got special dietary needs. needs. Our counselors will be available. Our principals will be available. We'll have community partnerships available. The community 4K at Bethlehem Lutheran Academy will be present. Many of our booster clubs and PTOs and PATTs will be represented if there's more information that families want there. They can get through that process pretty quickly. We're going to have some food trucks available, so folks can after, I would recommend after they get their picture taken, then maybe they can go get, you know, some food, mm-hmm. Whether it be a snack or a light supper from one of the food trucks that are there. It really is a great event. It's a great opportunity for many of our families in our district to meet the folks that their children are going to be working with in the buildings. It gives families a chance to interact with other families. The number of students that they see friends that they haven't seen since, you know, school let out in early June of last year. There's an excitement that comes about it. We typically get about 800 people that complete the online registration process. We have about 1,150 families in our district, just shy of 1,200. We're hoping to increase that number even more this year, and we really are thinking we're going to be close to 1,000 by the time it's all said and done this year. So 1 to 7 next Tuesday, August 6th at Richland Center High School. Enter in the doors by the high school office. There'll be people there to greet. And then I should mention, you know, I mentioned that, you know, you can expedite the process by having a lot of these online registrations done ahead of time. By the same token, if you forgot your password on Skyward or you're struggling to complete the process, we can help you with that, right? One of the very first things that we'll be able to do is offer assistance to all of the families that need translation services. Maybe they need to enroll in the district. We can help them there that night. And if they just need help getting onto Skyward and completing a couple of things that they had questions on, we can help them do that as well. And so it'll be a really, really good night for our families and get them registered and get them enrolled in the Richland School District and get off to a great start.
With the food trucks and almost kind of a festival atmosphere, I have to think that some kids are going to be fired up about going back to school. It's kind of like, fun night here.
I would hope so, yeah. Right? It's going to be exciting. I know I'm excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's coming up next week, August 6th. With the referendums that passed, too, I know some projects got underway. Could you give us an update on those and how they're developing?
Yeah, there's been probably more behind-the-scenes work than is actually visible, but certainly the one thing that's clearly visible right now, if you've drove by Richland Center High School, is that the roofing is being completed, and this has been a long time coming. You know, I remember talking about this back in 2018, 19, when our roofs were starting to fail, and I kind of go back to the mentality that many folks think of our high school as the quote-unquote new high school, but it is pushing 30 years old. It's 28 years old. That's the original roof on many parts of it. We've been able to strategically do parts of that roof in phases. We were not able to do anything else unless that referendum passed. And so that's going on right now. We've got a good chunk. The area over the gymnasium and the East Commons, that got completed last summer. The area over the band room and the auditorium, that got completed two summers ago. That was clearly the worst area. This is everything else. It's over the technical education space. It's over the entire academic space, over the IMC, and Long Life Roofing is coming in. They're plucking along at that, and we're going to have really good roofs that should last us for a couple of decades at the high school. The other two buildings are in really good shape. That was done with the 2016 referendum, so those were done in 2017, 18, 19, so those are in really good shape. We should be in a really good position from a roofing standpoint and keeping our property and our students dry during inclement weather. And then there's a lot of behind-the-scenes planning that's going on right now. We're focusing, working with Nexus and the civil engineers and the architects and all of those folks on Thursdays, typically, on primary school, right? And we're about, I would say, somewhere between 50 and 75% done with the design phase. Our primary focus has been on improving the parent drop-off and pickup and the busing situation that's going on at the primary school. And then we'll address the same thing at the intermediate school as we enter into that phase. But anybody who's dropped their kids off and has, you know, done bus duty out there at the primary school know that it's a very organized, chaotic situation, right? There's a lot of vehicles going in and out. We can't get all of our buses there at one time. Therefore, they have to come in waves. And so it's a very calculated, and when you it all works great on the days when everything works great, right? But all it takes is for, you know, one kindergartner to forget their backpack, and you know it slows the whole process down, and that happens most days, right? Something happens, and so we are hoping to develop a plan where all 20 of our buses can be at the primary school at one time, continue to have all of the parking that we've got available to provide a separate parent drop-off area for the morning for parents to be able to not have to interweave with busing. And then after school, to be able to have a similar situation where parents have an opportunity to park and they can go in, pick up their kids either from the playground or the gymnasium and not interfere with the busing. And so I'm excited about what that's going to look like. I think our community is going to be really, really grateful for the way that that will flow and how smooth that will be. Of course, there are some other things going on at the primary school as well. We recently, there was a couple of days there about 2 weeks ago where we were doing some digging. The foundation of some of our kindergarten classrooms is sinking. We needed to find out what extent that was sinking. It probably impacts about four classrooms. Originally, we thought that there was going to be two classrooms, but it looks like it's going to impact four classrooms. Fortunately, there's a nice break in the building for them to be able to repair that. We're meeting tomorrow, actually, with the folks from Nexus to determine whether or not this is something that we have to move up in the timeline, whether or not there's any structural components that we have to worry about at this point. Certainly no worries at this point. It's something that has to get done, but that's going to be happening. And then we'll be moving in mid-August, moving into the design stages of the intermediate school, and we'll start seeing construction at those two buildings happen, you know, late school year, right after school gets out next school year, and that next summer will be where they're primarily are focusing on, as then we're designing what's going to happen up at the high school with the primary part of that construction outside of the roofing that's being done right now. That'll be done in the summer of 2026. So all of that's going on, a lot of work, a lot of exciting work that's happening. And again, our job as leaders of our school district is to make sure that we're fiscally responsible, that we're very transparent with our community. And so we're going to be launching a website here in the coming weeks where folks from the public will be able to track and monitor progress of the referendum projects. They'll be able to get information in terms of dollars as well as kind of a story and pictures and really get a chance to see visually what's going on at each of those buildings and with each of those projects. So we're excited about the opportunities. Of course, you know, our community supported the two referendums in April that will come at a tax impact here in November or December. And while I'm not quite ready to share publicly what those numbers could actually be, we had projected $1.10 increase to our mill rate. I am confident in saying that we believe that that's going to be significantly less than $1.10. So I think that our public will be happy with the final result. Again, nobody really ever wants any kind of an increase on their taxes, but we believe it to be significantly less than what we originally anticipated. And it will be our job to make sure that we show the public that we fulfilled what we said we were going to do and keep them involved in the story along the way.
And sports will be starting soon. I think August 6th is when football practice starts. And the calendar is a little bit different this year because I believe there will only be two games in football played before the start of school.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was a result of just the way the calendar, because August, you know, August 1st has been the traditional start of football. Maybe there's been a few years where they could hand out equipment on July 31st. But because of the way that ended this week, right, it's kind of on a Thursday, Friday, I just anticipate that, or I'm speculating that they move that back to the first full week of August. So I don't know if that impacted how they were playing games and how they were doing that, or if that was a bigger domino effect from the reconfiguration or playoff alignments, things like that. But regardless, it's exciting, right? Anytime that we're getting students back and they're participating in extracurriculars. And again, I would encourage students, just get involved, whether you play football or soccer or run cross country or be a cheerleader or volleyball or be participating in the play. Greece is, you know, going to be performing in November. Whether you get involved in a club, just be involved, right? And this is the time of year where you can start to be thinking about those things and get involved in those kinds of things. If you are interested in playing sports, our online registration for sports has been open. Of course, they have not been able to pay fees until the online registration for school opens up, which again will happen this afternoon around 3 o'clock. So we'll be able to pay those fees for sports. But, you know, if you've got a child that is interested in playing athletics or participating in athletics, go ahead and get that physical scheduled, right, with your family physician. Get that taken care of so that the rest of the process can happen pretty easily. A lot of the parents can take care of signing off the forms, things like that, but that physical that's required every other year for students to participate in WIA sports, that's important for parents to do. So if they haven't done that yet, now would be a good time to get that scheduled so that you're not delayed, because we can't allow students to practice without that physical. We want to make sure that they're in good health, and then we can help keep them protected during the school year.
Yes, indeed. And then soccer and volleyball starting before too long, and cross country and cheerleading. So
yeah,
you'll be off and running.
It's exciting times. You know, it reminds me, you know, back when I went to school, I think the same was true when you went to school. You know, school started around August 20th, you know, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. And so, you know, one of the very first things that you were doing that first week of school is it seemed to align with the first football game, right? And so
yes.
It was kind of the culmination. You got to go back to school, see your friends, get acclimated a little bit, and then Friday night, you know, had a football game. And in a perfect world, that was a home football game, okay? So with the pushing back of school till after Labor Day, of course, that's a state law and things beyond our control, barring extenuating circumstances. So you have a couple of football games, you have a couple of soccer games, a couple of volleyball games, things that are happening before school starts, okay? And so, you know, again, students and parents and families, get out there, see the Richland School District and support the athletics that are going on. Students who are still have their IDs and student IDs from last year, then get into those games and contests free of charge, right? So just bring your ID until you get a new one, and then that will replace it. But lots of opportunities to come out and support the Richland Center Hornets and truly embrace that one hive mentality. We want to be a school district that offers choices and great academics, but we also want to be able to offer a lot of opportunities and choices outside of academics in the co-curricular model. And sports is just one of the many, many things that we have to offer as many of our clubs. Now's the